Latvia Weekly, your independent guide to the news in Latvia, with your hosts, Otto Tabuns and Joe Horgan. Labdien visiem, and welcome to episode number 189 of the Latvia Weekly podcast. I am one of your hosts, Joe Horgan, joined by my very good friend and colleague, the other host of the show, Mr. Otto Tabuns. Otto, how are you today?
Hello, Joe. Hello, listeners. It's great to be back again. And I think there are a lot of interesting news to speak. You know, not only the weather is becoming warmer, but so are the different activities in different fields.
There is a lot of news to get to, absolutely. But before we get to the news, Otto, as we do every single week, we have to go through the Latvian word of the week, which is connected with one of or multiple of the stories that we are going to be talking about, because many of you listening to the show are trying to learn the Latvian language, as you should be doing. And that word for this week is mainīt. Otto, what does the word mainīt mean?
Mainīt means to change or to exchange.
Well, one of the biggest things that changes here in Latvia this time of year is the seasons. And Otto, there is one meteorological or weather phenomenon that people here in Jelgava know very well. And what would that be?
So that, of course, would be a plūdi or flooding, so the corresponding Latvian word for the English term. And it indeed is a regular issue in the springtime. And as we can see with the changing weather pattern, we already had it as an increasing problem in the winter as well.
And it was pretty unusual in the winter when that happened due to some specific situations that we talked about previously because of the ice jam leading to a very specific situation. These kinds of floods are far more regular. Thankfully, here in Jelgava, we haven't been suffering from them as much as we had in previous years, but the area around Daugavpils are quite flooded, or at least they were for some time. The water levels have been going down recently, but the area in Augstaugavas, Novads, which is basically the kind of region around Daugavpils, Augstaugava is like upper Daugava. Would that be correct, Otto?
That's right.
Well, one of the major hydroelectric dams in the country, the Prilavnjas hydroelectric station, was in overflow mode recently. So those of you who were up in that region definitely got to see some pretty stunning sights of water going over the overflow part of the dam in order to reduce the flooding situation there. And Otto, this has led to a general discussion about what more needs to be done about flood-proofing, especially these types of areas. You know, this is very relevant for us living here in Zemgale, in this very flat geographical region of the country. And this is something that Maris Sprindžuks, who is the current Minister for Environmental Protection and Regional Development, has been talking about, for example, in different media appearances. So do you agree, Otto, that more needs to be done to combat potential flooding here in Latvia?
That's right, because we have reported on a number of stories where the changes in the environment, changes in the weather patterns are creating unintended and of negative consequences, such as the story with the destruction brought upon forests by the activity of these, I believe, insects, who are more of them as a result of the winters being warmer. And I would believe that this changing weather pattern also would explain the increasing frequency of winter flooding, the extent of the spring flooding, and the fact that this will certainly be a more frequent occurrence in the near future already.
Yeah, this was the wettest March since 2008, according to the Latvian Environment Geology and Meteorology Center. So the total amount of overall precipitation, including rain, snow, and the things in between, was 59.6 millimeters. So pretty stunning. Now, Otto, you just mentioned the changing climate and how things when it comes to the stability of the weather have been changing. You know, we've talked about the effects of climate change, you know, significantly, including, you know, the bugs that you were talking about in the forests, and how the general scientific consensus, especially here in Europe, is that humans are by and large causing or significantly responsible for these problems. Well, one thing which was in the international media 2 weeks ago was how Latvia's current Minister of Agriculture, Dieter Schmitz, who is from the United List, which we'll be talking about later in the episode as well, but specifically he is from the Latvian Green Party, which is one constituent party in this political alliance. So he was quoted as being quite skeptical of humanity's role in climate change, and this was something that was published by the Rail Baltica Center for Investigative Journalism in the Baltics fact-checking project, and it was reported on in other places as well. Seems to be kind of counterintuitive, especially since he is from a Green Party. People generally associate Green Parties with policies which are very aggressive towards combating climate change, which is not the case here necessarily, Otto. So, as we've talked about before, Latvia's Green Party is not the kind of typical Green Party that you might expect in, other European countries, and follow something called Green Conservatism.
That's right. So certainly the Green Party that we would have in Latvia, I would not think to be like-minded with some of the green left-wing parties we could see, let's say, in many of the other European countries, and that could also be the explanation for why their rhetoric on some of the things, such as the extent of human impact on climate change and the ability of humans to rewind or limit such impact, is different of that what we could hear, let's say, in Brussels, in Paris, or Rome.
Absolutely. So very, very interesting to see this, but we will definitely be continuing to talk about these weather-related stories because, as we can pretty clearly see, there are major changes happening, not just here in Latvia, but all over the world, and there will be a lot to continue reporting on this. So it'll be interesting to see not only his reaction in the future, but other members of the government. Now, Otto, next story is something that was shared a lot on social media, and it was shared in kind of a, a little bit of a sensationalized way because of similar situations that have happened in other parts of the world and in Latvia previously as well. This has to do with the building collapse that took place on Satekslis, Iela, pretty close to Riga's central station. So just not very far away from there. This building, it was a 5-story building, and it was not inhabited. As far as all the reports I've heard, the only thing that was damaged besides the building itself were some cars that were parked underneath. There was no humans. They even organized a moment of silence. Not, usually you associate a moment of silence with people who've been lost, but that was a very practical moment of silence. So because that area is very, very loud, especially those of you who've studied at the Faculty of Humanities know, because of all the trains, the traffic, and just to check that there was no sounds of movement inside. But that was something that a lot of people were talking about. And another thing that's been talking about, which is kind of leads us into our next section of this episode, has to do with potential criminal investigations into breaches of construction standards and possible violations into those. So, Otto, obviously, this is something that everybody, is worried about to some extent or another, about how safe, the buildings that we're in are. Do you think that this is going to lead to a wider kind of look at the standards of buildings the same way that the Maxima tragedy did almost 10 years ago?
I think that it could certainly increase the oversight, but I would not think that it will have such a effect as, of course, the terrible Maxima tragedy, as in this case no human life was lost, and I think, of course, the attention will go away after much sooner period of time.
Well, we will have to see what the results of the investigation are, and if there are any breaches that are found, criminal activity that would be. But one criminal case which has resulted in a very significant fine of 50,000 euros is for an action which sounds, you know, at face value, like something that you might do every day, especially on Easter, because here in Latvia, on Easter, there is a tradition to fight with eggs, to kind of break eggs against each other. You know, we call them, what is it, olaskaujas?
Mm-hmm.
So there was one SUP boarder who destroyed these 10 eggs back in 2021 for reasons which are still not completely known in the Bedersenu pond, not far from Bearskrogs, which is a very famous location in Vidzeme. And Otto, so 50,000 euros, 140 hours of community service, that might sound quite draconian, but that does show the, you know, importance that Latvia puts on endangered species. So do you think that the punishment fits the crime in this case?
I think probably yes, because in any case, it is prohibited to disturb the nests of any bird. But in this case, what I understand is the specific significance of the species of the bird in question was that it fulfills a very important function by signaling to other birds if there is an imminent danger. And unfortunately, this type of bird is heavily endangered in Latvia. So we could imagine that if this bird would become extinct, then it could start a chain reaction with regard to other bird species, and we know what effects it could have on the ecosystem as a whole.
Well, please do not smash any bird eggs that you find, regardless of if they are endangered or not. That is quite a crazy thing to do. But another person who I would not say is in a completely sane state of mind also smashed some panels of windows on the occupation museum's facade back about a week and a half ago. That was reported on Latvian public television. And Otto, you know, as you know, certainly it's difficult to get inside somebody's mind and be able to say for certain their intentions, but certainly I would say that this might have some very negative and toxic political intentions behind it. Would you agree?
It could be the case, because whereas we have had incidents when other locals or visitors who are not in their right state of mind due to intoxication or other reasons have committed vandalism in the old town of Riga, but specifically the fact that it has happened at the Museum of the Occupation of Latvia and to such an extent, so it's not a one but three large windows. Window panes that were vandalized, it could certainly give an inkling that there is a political motivation behind this act of vandalism.
Yeah, I'd like to be optimistic and hope that it is just simple vandalism, but we will have to see. Some other criminal activity. So some people were arrested both in Riga and in Latvia's second largest city of Daugavpils for retranslating banned channels which carry Russian state propaganda. Otto, that is considered a significant breach when it comes to Latvia's communication laws. And, you know, speaking from a security perspective, why is that a potential risk to Latvian society as well?
Well, it is a risk for those people who would accept the information promoted on Russian TV channels, which are government-owned, in making apologetic statements and explanations about the Russian aggression against Ukraine, which was one of the reasons why the channels were banned. And so this is the reason why the government decided and the specific watchdog decided that they should be banned from broadcasting, and I think it is also associated with the sanction regime against people who are associated with the particular channels.
And it is one thing to retranslate or rebroadcast these propaganda channels. It is quite another thing to participate in the creation of propaganda for such state sources, because there was a report on Latvian public television's investigative journalism show De Facto that 14 residents here in Latvia have been accused and are going through proceedings for potentially creating content for these state propaganda channels, which is, you know, a very serious serious accusation for exactly the reasons that Otto potentially that Otto already mentioned. But do you think, Otto, that this will deter people from, you know, participating in the production of state propaganda for Russia in the future? Or do you think this is going to continue being a problem?
I think that it may not deter everyone, but perhaps this will serve as a precedent of showing what are the consequences if you are involved with media organizations or media content that would speak in favor of actions that have been recognized as war crimes and the crime of international aggression.
Well, we'll definitely keep you posted when there is more information about these particular proceedings. Now, Otto, one of the kind of most important, when it comes to Latvian culture and the protection of the Latvian state, one of the biggest priorities for the Latvian government, of course, is the Latvian language and the protection of the Latvian language. There are, many different efforts that have been, followed, have been sought by the Latvian government to protect the Latvian language and increase the public's use of the Latvian language. And one of the things that is required, at least when films are shown in movie theaters, they have to have Latvian subtitles. Now, of course, there is the option to provide subtitles in other languages, but one possible amendment that is being discussed right now in the Committee of Education, Culture, and Science in Latvia's parliament, Saeima, is that Russian would no longer be allowed to be used as a language. This would be connected with using only official European Union languages as the languages of the subtitles, which Russian is not an official language of any European Union state. Now, Otto, how likely do you think it is that this proposal could actually go through? Do you view this as potentially too draconian, or do you think that this would be in line with the general kind of policies that have been sought, when it comes to languages here in Latvia?
I think that it is likely that this proposal will go through, because here we are talking about the public role of a given language, and with regard to languages other than the official languages, the parliament and the lawmakers have a wide authority to limit that. One of the reasons why you would have either dubbing or subtitles of Latvian in most anything you see on television and in other media as well, or a translation has to be provided, such as in some radio interviews, for example. But I think one of the reasons why it has remained an open-ended question is that usually the case is that with regard to films, those are the distributors rather than the cinemas themselves who would add these subtitles, and of course that is done for commercial reasons, but of course the motivation of this law would not be the commercial side, which certainly there would be an impact, but rather the public role of the official language in contrast to any other language.
And one other language-related amendment which seems to be supported is that we've talked previously about how Russian nationals who are living here on residence permits will have to submit a documentation that shows that they have received a proficiency in the, or have achieved proficiency in the Latvian language up to the A2 level. And we talked about how potentially there could be amendments to that law, and what has been agreed is that People who have not passed the exam the first time will have some extra time until the end of the year to retake the exam and pass it on the second time. But as far as I understand, Otto, this is not a general extension. People still will have to, pass the or will still have to at least take the Latvian exam up until the 1st of September. Is that correct?
And that is right, because if it is not done, then it is, according to the current form or the current way how the law states, that there is a chance for them to lose their rights to stay in Latvia past December of this year already.
Now, I'm going to hand over the floor to Otto for the next story, because aside from being host of the Latvia Weekly podcast, Otto is also director of the Baltic Security Foundation and spends a lot more time thinking about defense and security issues than I do. One of the biggest stories that we've been covering over the last few months, really, almost a year now, is that compulsory military service has been discussed as something that would be re-implemented. And it seems that Saeima, Latvian Parliament, has agreed that that will be re-implemented as of this summer, Otto. So can you explain to people in a nutshell what that will look like and, what will be the implications for people who are listening to the show who have Latvian citizenship?
So the law, which was approved on April the 5th, finally, would mean that Latvian citizens aged 18 to 27 years would have to be part of the National Defense Service. They would firstly try to obtain the required number of the participants of the service voluntarily, but if there would not be enough of volunteers, according to the number set by, I believe, the ministry, then the remaining spots will be filled by asking people to serve their country, to serve the service, and do this either in the regular service for 11 months, alternatively in the National Guard over a period of 5 years, or doing an alternative service in an institution associated with the Ministry of Defense.
So this does apply also to people who are listening from overseas who have Latvian citizenship, Otto. Is that the case?
That's right.
And that was something that was clarified recently, because there was some confusion about that previously, but that is the case. Now, there are certain exemptions. So people who are the sole caretakers of dependents, sole guardians of children, people whose health status does not allow them to take part, people also who are graduates from the Oscars Kaltbox Vocational School, which is a military school.
Also, importantly, those who have served in a different country already. For example, you would be a double citizen of Latvia and the United States. If you have served in the United States, then I would believe this exemption would also apply.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'd like to point out people who've been convicted of a serious or especially serious crime. So that is a significantly different policy from the invaders of Ukraine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Another very important situation which is happening here in Latvia is the upcoming presidential election. Now, we will get into the weeds of how presidential elections work here in Latvia, because it is quite different from my home country of the United States. We will not get into all the details right now, but I can announce that we have at least one candidate for the election. That is not Mr. Egils Levits. We are not sure yet if Mr. Egils Levits will run for re-election of president, but that candidate is Mr. Uldis Pilens from the United List, which we talked about earlier. And the United List is a group of pre-existing political parties which ran together in the last election, most notably the Latvian Green Party and the Latvian Regional Association or Alliance. I'm not sure exactly how it translates into English. But Otto, how do you put the chances of Mr. Uldis Pilens, who is a fairly well-known businessman here in the country, of potentially becoming the president of the country?
it is possible for him to become the president, but it does not seem to be possible just within the framework of the coalition, because the New Unity faction, whereas not putting forward their candidate, has expressed their support to the current president Levitz, should he decide to run again. And it is still an open question of whether the National Alliance, the third party of the coalition, would support the re-election of Mr. Levitz, who was their nominee in the first place, or would actually go together with the United List to support Mr. Pielen's candidacy. And in this case, they will need votes from without the coalition to get that through. So it is possible that he will get enough of votes to become the president, but then it could have potentially destabilizing implications for the current coalition.
And as we talked about previously on the show, the election of a presidential candidate is one thing that the coalition agreed to disagree on. So, you know, hopefully that will not lead to the coalition's demise. But as Otto mentioned, that could certainly cause instability. One thing I just want to pause on for a second, Otto, is, so we mentioned that he's from the United List. That is, you know, on one hand, a new political grouping, but as we mentioned, those are pre-existing parties which have been around for quite some time. And the politicians that are in those parties are very well-known figures, including, you know, Mars Kuczynskis from the Green Party, who was the previous prime minister, is now the Minister of the Interior. And what's interesting is that, like, for example, Vieno Tiba started out as one of these unions of multiple parties that then coalesced into a single party, same with Saskinya as well. We've seen other situations where, for example, Artisti Bipar was a very strange union of two parties, and it did not end up gelling together well, and they had some significant problems in the previous election. How well, you know, as a political scientist as well, how well would you say that the United List is kind of gelling together into some kind of, maybe not coherent, but cohesive political faction?
I think, as with all political conglomerates, and we have quite a few, they are working well together as long as they have good political fortunes and there is more benefits than costs for them to work together. And it indeed seems to be this case. But perhaps we can use the analogy that we could see in the American political system, where you may have new candidates, but they may belong to established political families, such as, the Bush family, the Kennedy family. So the candidate may be new, but they have been in politics for years. Perhaps I would use that analogy if we look at the Latvian cases, but instead of, familial or blood relation, as in the American case, here we are talking about the political forces and these groups of interest who have cooperated for a long time, but perhaps they would use candidates with whom they have good collaboration and their interests align, but they are not necessarily well established in the political institutions.
Well, I've got another example of a established politician creating a new party that was from just a week and a half ago. That is Mr. Alexandras Bartashevich, who we talked about previously, the mayor of Rezigne, who was kicked out of the Harmony Party. you can go back and listen to that very interesting story about, I think it was four episodes back. And he, together with 217 people, established the Kuopa Latvijai, or Together for Latvia, which I cannot believe there has not been a party already called that, because, or maybe they're actually has, we'd have to look back, but that is the most stereotypical Latvian political party name I think I've heard. So he has founded this new party, Otto. How would you put their chances of making a splash either on the local or the national scene?
I think that their chances are similar to the formula chosen by the Stability Party, where the former members of the Harmony Party, again, did not agree with, in their mind, what was a too moderate position on some things. And so they created a separate party instead. So I think it will be a similar approach. And if they play their cards right, they can become a new formidable force, especially in the Rezekne region, which is Mr. Bartashevich's powerhouse.
Well, we will keep an eye on them. Let's go through a few education-related stories real quick. One of them being the planned teacher strike, which we have talked about previously on the episode, which is planned to begin on the 24th of April and go for 3 days. Otto, we've talked previously about how not only teachers, but medical workers are very dissatisfied with the conditions in the field, not only salaries, but a number of other issues as well. And it was just announced yesterday, so we're recording this on Wednesday, the 12th, but it was announced yesterday on the 11th, that this will now be a joint strike between the teachers union and also medical workers as well. So do you think, Otto, that this is going to change the calculus in any kind of major way and that the government might pay a little bit more attention to the combined demands of both parties?
I would expect the government to offer some kind of a compromise, even though I would not expect the government to respond fully in approval of the demands, because even though the last time where there was this debate between the trade union of teachers and the government, from the government side we heard that on the one hand, yes, teachers would deserve more resources. At the same time, there are limited funds and the strike will not change anything. At the same time, the Prime Minister afterwards asked the different departments of the government to check for any unused or not fully used funds that could be perhaps redistributed for the purposes of funding education. So I would expect that some kind of a middle way could be also found in this time, but certainly there is no guarantee that the strike will not happen.
One story, Otto, which I wanted to get your take on very quickly was there was some debate. I'm not sure exactly what the kind of final word on this was, but it was interesting that this was being talked about in SIMA that schools would not be allowed to conduct separate entrance exams anymore, specifically state gymnasiums, which usually have some kind of entrance exam, which are, you know, look at subjects which are not covered by the required centralized exams that the ninth graders would take. So I kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on this, Otto. You know, do you think that schools should be able to organize their own entrance exams, you know, kind of based on the requirements of the school?
On the one hand, I think that an entry exam should not be a prerequisite to obtain the education mandated by the Constitution. On the other hand, we have many schools where there are more applicants to the places than there are and than the school is able to provide. In those cases, there has to be a way how to decide which students get accepted. And it is possible that, there are those situations. What if you have the same percentage in, let's say, the pertinent centralized exams? How do you make a choice then? Well, I would not exclude the option for the schools to find other ways how to do that, for example, to have these the interviews or some other kinds of tests to decide that. But I think that schools should be let with the option to decide, especially if it is the case that the competition is bigger than actually the resources of the school to provide that education.
Well, we will see if there is any kind of final decision on that. But, Otto, I have three rapid-fire stories before we get to international. One is that the forecasts by Latvia's central bank have been forecasted. Changed and updated. So apparently GDP growth is expected to be slightly better than it was previously. So there was an expectation that there would be a small decrease in GDP, but now there's expected to be a 0.5% increase in GDP for 2023. And inflation is supposedly going to be lower, at least according to the experts at the central bank, than was previously expected, which I think is very good news for just about all consumers. Unfortunately, for people who want to visit the Latvian Song and Dance Festival, though, there is still going to be significant inflation, 40% inflation on the overall average cost of tickets for the festival. But Otto, I think that is a long-term story. The ticket prices have been going up and up and up every single time. the prices for all of the major events have been going up. And you can take a look on the both the English and the Latvian version of LSM, Latvian Public Media, to see all of the different events and what the prices have been throughout the years. It's quite interesting to look at. And good news for people who drive in the kind of northern section of Riga, the Sarkandaugava overpass at long last is open after 3 years of work. So the traffic situation, I don't know, Otto, does it seem at least a little bit better to you already?
Well, at that part of the city, it could be. And hopefully it will be the case that there will be more solutions opened before any other construction is cast upon us in the city of Riga, because indeed the situation is challenging, and hopefully it will become better before it becomes worse.
Well, we've got just a little bit of time left, Otto, but I really want to hear your take on probably the most important international news story, I think, at least in my opinion, for Latvia, and that is Finland's ascension into NATO, something that you are certainly an expert on. So tell us your take, Otto.
Certainly, it is good news for Latvia. This is a significant change in Finnish foreign policy, as they have pursued a neutrality after World War II and the wars they had with the Soviet Union, and Russia being the successor of it. But seeing Russian aggression, it motivated both Finland and Sweden to try to get this membership, and Finland has been the first one to do so. And it will improve the security of the Baltic states. It will also improve the situation in the Baltic Sea in terms of naval security, and the Finns have a very formidable military. They have experience that can be useful to us, and it is very good that we will be able to cooperate much more strongly than we have been able to do before, and I think it will be both to the benefit of Finland and Latvia, as we at the Baltic Security Foundation have called for such course of action in several of our books.
Great, and hopefully we will have good news about Sweden's ascension as well in the near future. Otto, do we have a quick week in Latvian history?
Then, of course, it has to be the anniversary of NATO, because the Finnish accession took place on the day when the North Atlantic Treaty, or the Washington Treaty, was signed in 1949. And perhaps it was a coincidence that they did that in spring, in April. But certainly, I think it is a good time, because also the Latvian, the time when Latvia joined NATO was the 29th of March, so it was also very close to the date when this treaty was signed in Washington in 1949 to deal with the Soviet aggressive intentions in Europe.
And we are very, very happy that this did indeed happen, because NATO has had a very positive impact, I think, as everyone would agree here in the country, on Latvia's security situation. So anyway, Otto, thank you so much for being here today with me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you about the news of the week. And I'd like to thank also Kian, who does an awesome job updating our Facebook page every single day between times when we are able to talk through the news. Thank all of you for listening, whether this is your first time, your 189th time listening to the show. Any last things you'd like to say, Otto, to people listening before we sign off?
Thank you, Joe, for the great conversation. I hope it was informative for our listeners. And let me wish everyone Visu labu.
Visu labu, visiem.